Well, I'd like to say I'm glad to be here tonight. It's always a real privilege to come to speak to God's people, and especially under the tent. We spent numbers of years across the nation, different parts of the country, preaching under the tent from California to Florida. And we have enjoyed speaking to God's people, whether we're under the tent, whether we're in an auditorium, or whether we're out in open-air crusades. It doesn't matter. Churches. We always enjoy being under the tent. And we enjoy preaching to God's people. I don't know, it may be a little bit cool for you. I guess most of you folks are used to this western weather, so it doesn't bother you that much. But it really doesn't bother me. We spend quite a bit of time in the west, and it doesn't bother me that much. But some of them, it might be a little chilly for them. Last night, we had a real good time in the Lord. We talked about the wonderful Word of God. People had a real good, receptive spirit. And they listened real well. And we were able to say a few things. And, of course, people are stirred everywhere in the world today because they know the end of the world is here. A lot of people haven't, in the past, you could talk to them about the end of the world and they wasn't too convinced that the end of the world was close by, but people around the world today, they are thoroughly convinced that the end of the world is here. People in the upper echelon, people in the average walk of life, wherever they're at, they are convinced that the end of the world is here. And indeed, the end of the world is here because when you think about governments, the end of governments is here because you can't trust anything anymore and it's all promises and no performance. And when it comes to the law has become corrupt. When it comes to the educational systems, they've become corrupt to the extent that even nearby home there, one of the colleges, they had streaking going on. And it's turned into a house of prostitution rather than an institution of learning. And it reminds me of something that Martin Luther said one time. Martin Luther, you can be seated, forgive me. I stand all the time, so I have to stop and think, you know. But I remember Martin Luther, the one that started the Protestant move of God throughout the America and the world, one time made the statement, he said, I fear if... He said, I feel that if the learning institutions of the world doesn't accept Christ more in their colleges and their schools, that the learning institutions, college and schools all put together, are going to become the doorways to hell. And folks, that's exactly what has happened. The great Martin Luther made that statement, and sure enough, it has become the gateway to hell. It seems like that rather than educating today, I read a little article where it said that the people were going heathen faster than they could educate them. And in the world today, people have turned away from God in such way and turned away from morals in such way and decencies in such way until it's almost utterly impossible around the world to find one lady, one real, genuine, virtuous lady, and one real, genuine, virtuous man as a gentleman. It's hard to find them in the world today. And the last age was to be a Laodicean age, which means people's rights, fighting for rights as to color, to creed, as to man, as to woman, as to boy, to girl, whatever. Everybody's fighting for the rights. Everybody wants their rights. All nationalities want their rights. And they're fighting and shedding blood, still trying to obtain their rights. Marriages, nothing sacred anymore. Hundreds and thousands of marriages just dissolved overnight. Women walk off with another man after being with a husband, and the husband walk off with another woman after being with a wife and having a family. And it's absolutely unreal that the human being or the human family would do such things. And you're reminded of one thing that we're told in the Scriptures, and that is people have fallen to the beast level as to a fallen way of life. And not only have they fallen to a beast level as to trace their origin back to a beast, and that is without God, but they've also come to the place to where they are recognizing that, as the Bible teaches, that many of them are brute beasts made to be taken and burned. They're brute beasts. They're filled with brutality. They'll kill you in a minute. Years ago, people loved one another. They worked together. They tried to help one another. The world wasn't overrun with diseases. There was happiness. There was tranquility. There was a plenty for everybody. You know, it's kind of like the species of the ocean. There's plenty of water for all of them. You know, plenty of water for all of them. And with God, as to grace, there's plenty of grace for everybody. There's plenty for everybody. God has made a plenty for everybody. But when we come to the place to where we don't have a mind to work, and we don't have a mind to listen to instruction, and we're not desiring to know the truth anymore and to follow the right ways with peace and to love one another, to help one another, be concerned for one another, then we begin to leech off of one another. We become cons. The world calls it cons. And we leech off of one another, and we begin to steal and cheat and manipulate and work things around in any way, whether it's with paperwork or through the law or a boycotting or undermining thing or whatever it might be, to steal from our neighbor and to take from our neighbor. You know why that is? Because the Bible teaches that Lucifer, Satan, the fallen one, the god of this world, that he is a thief and he is a robber. And as the Bible says, there's no honor among thieves. You know, so we know that Satan is a thief and he's a robber. And we know that when he gets into a person, then they become a thief and a robber. And the Bible teaches the children of this world who will not accept Christ and will not follow the Lord or let Christ live in their heart. The Bible said that the people of this world are taken into captivity at the will of the devil. All he does is just like that, and through their human senses, they're relative to the natural things of the world. And being related to the natural things through the human senses, Satan just inspires them or moves or motivates. They're thinking a little bit and they just follow their thoughts and their feelings and their desires. They don't follow a real instructive way of life. They don't look well to their going. They don't really plan a way of life as to including God within it. And the Bible says, because they have not a love for the truth, God hath turned them over to a reprobate mind to let them believe a lie and be damned. And they religiously feel like they are secure. They feel like everything's going to work out as to the wars and whatever, that they're eventually going to get peace. Whereas the Bible says there's no peace to the wicked. See, and that God is angry with the wicked every day. He'd never let them have peace. Because how could he let his enemy, Satan, and the followers of Satan have peace and take over the world when the world is his creation and people are his creation? And he made the world for his glory, all things for him, by him, and to him. And how is it that he would stand by and let them form a peace and a union? Really, there couldn't be any peace among people anyway if they don't have God, because there's no honor among thieves. And demon spirits actually literally fill people, like it was as to Legion when Jesus met him over there in the tombs. He had a legion of devils in him. And Mary Magdalene, seven devils. And people today, you meet people today, and they are literally filled with devils and demons. And those demon spirits, see, they are out there in the dry places, wandering around in the dry places in the spirit world. And the wrath of God is poured out against them. And it's like an individual standing on hot coals. You know, if you were standing on hot coals, you wouldn't stop dancing. You'd try to get it. You'd always be picking that foot up. See, and they are like on hot coals. They're out there, and they're tormented in the dry places. And they can't find any place to get out of the wrath of God unless they get in a human body. And when they get in a human body, they are at peace, because there is blood on the seat of atonement. There is still the blood on the mercy seat of God for all humanity. God waiting patiently to see what everyone will do before he brings down the curtains on this last great drum of life. So he is waiting for the church, or the people who love God, or the people that want to hear the truth and know the truth. He's waiting for them to come out from among them to be a separate people. And when they begin to come out more and more and more, then God will separate more and more and more as to the judgments falling upon those people that will not honor him. If you remember when Joseph was down in Egypt, it was down there in the land of Goshen that God protected this little place called Goshen. And the rest of Egypt, he devastated. He just literally devastated Egypt, and he turned it into a heap. It was literally wrecked. Even the people said to Pharaoh, said, "You must be mad. You must be out of your mind." Said, "Egypt is nothing but a garbage dump or a heap of rubbish." And God, at the same time, took care of the people over in Goshen. As a matter of fact, we just come back from Egypt. It's just been a few weeks ago. And we had a great crusade down in Egypt, down in Cairo, Egypt, and down in Alexandria, Egypt. God blessed us in a great, mighty way. And many hundreds of people poured out night after night to hear the wonderful word of God. And you can be sure that people in Egypt have a different outlook from what they had back in that time. Because the place filled up, every place where we was, God blessed it. And the place there in Cairo just filled up till it was packed back to the walls and all the aisles and everywhere. And people all outside that couldn't get in. Because they're calling on the name of the Lord Jesus and they're looking for God. And it should be this way all over the world. In the different places that we're going, we're finding that people are hungry. Hundreds and thousands of people turned out in the crusades that we had in Philippine Africa, different places. And people under the tent, people in auditoriums, people in churches, wherever, they're hungry for the Word of God. They're looking for something. They want something. They know that everything has run out, including the government. The end of the world is here. Everything is gone berserk. Nobody has the answer anymore, but there's one thing that we know. Christ is the answer. He is the one that created all these things. He is the one that made you and I. And it stands to reason that we need to let Him have His place and take control of these things and look after these things. And let's all look to Him and whoever He raises up, whether it's a man or a woman or whatever. As for His work, He'll look after them as long as they look to Him. And He'll work through them to the public as long as they will submit themselves to Him. As America, a great, wonderful America with great men like Washington and Abe Lincoln and others who sought God and asked for leadership to look after the people. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived as to his day, made the statement, said, "How can I speak, O God, how can I speak to so great a people?" And men are not capable of speaking to the people. Neither are men capable of leading the people. It doesn't matter if they go to college and they have their diplomacies and whatever of life. That doesn't make a man in condition to speak to the people. I said something last night about the physicians of the world. There's thousands and thousands of physicians around the world. And they've got all kind of diplomacies, and yet people are dying like flies. They're giving them all kind of prescriptions and whatever, and half the time they're not right. And, you know, it's just too bad somebody dies. That doesn't bother the physician to the extent that if he can get around it, he goes on with his business. And, folks, this is the truth. I know this to be the truth. And the people are just being experimented with, and it's just a sad situation all the way around. But it's our fault. It's our fault as a people. Because we are supposed to be looking to God. And the Bible said, "If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and call on me, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their lands." And folks, when we come to that place, everything's going to be all right. Reading here over in Zechariah 4, 4th chapter, 6th verse, we find the Lord speaking to Zerubbabel, and He says, "It's not by might nor by power, saith the Lord of hosts, but by my Spirit." Now, this is where the problem is, right here. People are leaving God's Spirit. They're leaving the Spirit of God. They're not following the Spirit of God. Now, when I say that, it sounds crude when I tell you that God hath already turned the people over to a reprobate mind, and they are believing a lie, and they're going to be damned. The Bible said, "Because they had not a love for the truth, I will turn them over to a reprobate mind. I will cause them to believe a lie by sending them strong delusions." All because they would not love the truth. They would not listen to the truth. They did not want the truth. And so then God hath in this day turned them over to reprobate mind. And people are believing a lie. I took some ministers or some people a few days back, and we was riding down the road. And I said, "Did you know that people are already turned over to reprobate mind? I said, let me prove it to you. I took the Bible, and I went to a certain place, a passage of Scripture, and I said, now I want you to notice the people, notice their action, notice the things that they're saying, notice the things they're doing while we're riding around this day and while we're visiting and talking. And the people were literally shocked because we have just come right into this thing. People have just drifted into it, and they've not paid a lot of attention to it. They are not aware. And people that have been born into this generation are not aware that the whole generation is so far from God and that they're doing things altogether contrary to God in every way of life, in every walk of life. But these people looked at me and said that they were literally astounded according to their expressions because they realized that people have actually been turned over to reprobate mind. And folks, if that's true, and that is true, then we need to start looking for God as fast as we can, and we need to get a hold of God, because if people have been turned over to reprobate mind, that means that the end of the world is here, and that means that the Lord is on His way, and that we don't have very long to do whatever we're going to do, and we're really going to have to get in a hurry. And all the signs are fulfilled everywhere. The signs are fulfilled, and Jesus said this to the people. He said, if you cannot discern the signs of the time, He said, you are hypocrites. He said, you discern the sign of the weather. And He said, and if you can't discern the signs of the time, He said, then you're hypocrites. Now that if I ask the question tonight, if I said, how many of you can discern the signs of the time? How many of you know that the signs of the time be fulfilled? And know that the coming of the Lord is here. Have you discerned the signs of the time? We are supposed to be a religious people. We're supposed to be a Christian people. We're supposed to know all of these things. And have we discerned the signs of the time? Jesus said, if you have not, then are you hypocrites? Folks, there must be a world of hypocrites today. Because everywhere I go around the world and I talk to people, they hardly know anything about the signs of the time. And I think, but you belong to the church that's supposed to be the cream of the crop. How is it? How is it that this is this way? It's been a few years back. I had a Catholic priest to come into my house. He was passing by this place where we have a campground. He passed by there a number of times, and he finally one day he stopped in. He was a very learned man, and he was probably in his late 40s or early 50s. And I talked to him, and we had a conversation there in my living room, and we talked about many things because he was very learned, having studied in Italy and New York and different places. And as I talked with him, very active man, fully active in the Catholic Church, had been for years and up among the upper echelon of those on the dignitary side of it. But as I talked to him, we talked, and as I talked to him, I said, sir, I would like to ask you a question. I asked him a question. I said, now, I want you to answer me truthfully concerning this one thing. I said, that's all, just this one thing. And when I asked him that question, this man looked at me and he said, lo and behold, Brother Pike, he said, the entire Catholic Church is an error. And he said, would you please take me and baptize me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin? You know why? Because I asked him the question, I said, why is it the great mighty church has drifted so far from the papacy of their first choice? I said, when the first pope commanded on the day of Pentecost to repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, I said that you might receive the great, wonderful Holy Ghost of the gift of the Spirit, because the Bible said it's unto you and your children and to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And I said, and from that time, the Bible said, beginning in Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, that remission of sin shall be taught in His name. And he went down to the river and he was baptized. And after that, he went into Canada and he went into different places and was disputing openly with the priest and telling them that they need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin, because that was what the first pope taught. And that was the first of the papacy, and the successor was as to take the keys to the kingdom and go and take this to the people. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then what are we here for tonight? We're here to glorify the name of Jesus. We're here to bring the wonderful Word of God and the great Spirit of God as to that concerning the resurrection from the dead. Somebody say hallelujah. So then we're under the tent tonight to tell you about Jesus, to scope the world affairs, to look at them and see the condition of things today.
Folks, I want to be saved. I want to escape hell. I believe there's a God. I believe there's a burning hell. It's like Billy Graham said one time, people who deny that there's a devil make themselves an open target for him. And I want to be saved from Satan. I want to be saved from the powers of this world. And I want to be set aside for the work of God. I want to do the right thing. I want to love humanity. I want to love my brother and my sister. I want to have what the Bible calls pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions and then keep myself unspotted from the world. That's real, genuine salvation, folks. When you are willing to share what you've got with the poor, and when you are willing to share what you've got with the widows, and when you're willing to share what you've got with the orphans, and then you're willing to come out from the world and be a separate people. To touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. When we turn away from the unclean things, we are going as a people like mad horses. You know they call this wild horse Macer over here. And a lot of times I think about people like that. They're going like wild horses with no leadership whatsoever. And they're just doing things that's absolutely unreal, that's unimaginable. And they still say that they have Christianity. And they still say that they have God. But the Bible says that Christianity is when you come out from among them, come out of the world and be a separate people. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, surely to the great God of heaven, you don't expect us to come out of the world. The Bible said, come out of the world and be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things and I will receive you, saith the Lord. Why should I come out of the world? Somebody says, I live in the world. I like the world. I want to do what the world does. Why should I come out of the world? Because the Bible said the world and all that's of the world is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And the Bible said, in the world and the lust thereof passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's why we need to come out of the world. Tell me something, is the church coming out of the world today? The church that you are acquainted with, beloved friend, is it coming out of the world? The church where you go to church, are they separated from the things of the world? Are they walking in Christianity? Are they Christ-like? You know, they were first called Christians down at Antioch because they were Christ-like. Now then, is the church where you're going to church, is it Christ-like? Is the preacher that's preaching to you, is he Christ-like? Is the preacher or the priest that's ministering to you, is he Christ-like? Is he doing the things according to the Bible? We need to stop and ask ourselves, is the schools where we're sending our children, are they doing the things according to the Word of God? Or have they become the gates to hell like Martin Luther said? See, are we going to allow the things to continue in life that's going on? Or are we going to rise up like a people as they did in the years gone by and stand for something and organize something as in a body of believers and hold up a standard to the world and say we're Christians? What are we going to do? We're just going to go with the tide? Are we just going to drift downstream with the tide? Are we going to say, well, this is the way it is, and we're going to incorporate this in our work, in our lifestyle, in our way of life? Or are we going to stand up and say, no, I won't have a part of that? You know, folks, we're always looking for some great organization or some great power or some great legislative act of government to take care of our problems. And this is where we get in trouble. We fail to be an individualist. We fail to stand as an individualist. God wants you as an individual to stand up. God wants you as an individual to make a change in your life. God wants you as an individual to fast and pray. And God wants you as an individual to have a testimony of holiness and godliness and pureness. For the Bible said God has called you to virtue. And God has called you to glory. And the Bible said God is the spirit of holiness. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. How is it could you expect to have eternal life if God is the only source of eternal life and he is the spirit of holiness and the Bible tells you to be holy in body and spirit and you're not holy in spirit, you're not holy in body, you're not even concerned about holiness? How in the world will you ever be a Christian? How will you ever have eternal life? Coming to church doesn't give one eternal life. Joining the church doesn't give one eternal life. Just saying good things or reading the Bible, even being able to memorize the scripture, that doesn't give you eternal life. Because you give an offering to the priest or you give an offering to the preacher, that doesn't give you eternal life. Folks, Jesus said you must be born again. See, you must be born again, and that of the Spirit. That Nicodemus, he said, that is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And he said, you must be born again, or you'll never see the kingdom of God. Do you realize that we're natural people, and these 22 conductive nerves from our eye to our brain, it tells us all about the things that we see around us, but that we never at any time see the wonderful glory of God? Do you realize when the glory of God came forth in the days of Paul, that it blinded Paul, and Paul was one of the most learned men in the earth? And with all of his knowledge, when this great glory come forth, the voice said to him, Paul, go down to the street called Straight, and call for one there, he'll tell you what to do. And he said, be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of Jesus. Because Jesus said, you must be born again. You know, we've been in and out of Jerusalem, as I said last night, about 10 times ministering over there. And now we've got a place there inside of the old city walls that belongs to us. But I find, talking to the Jews, I find one thing, and that is that they are blind. God suffered them to be blind until the time of the Gentiles should be fulfilled to give us a chance for salvation. Because the Bible said salvation is of the Jew. So then I find that these people are blind. And when you talk to them about Jesus, they don't know anything about Jesus. Even though there are converted Jews around the world today, and they are coming into the things of God. But Israel as a whole, they know nothing about Jesus. And I look at them and I think, well, this is so sad. How can this be that they know nothing about my Savior? But folks, when I preach to the Gentiles, as here in the world around, I find they don't know much about Jesus either. They know about the name Jesus, and they know about church, and they know about religion. But when it comes right down to serving God and being partakers of the blessings of Christ and having Christ in their life and living a life according to godliness or even making an attempt to be godly, I find that they don't know very much about Jesus either. As a matter of fact, when I communicate with their ministers and their ministers being shepherds as to lead the sheep, then I find they don't know much about Jesus either. And I find out the greatest thought within their mind is to have the preeminence over the people, to lord over the people, to be not an example to the flock, but to take the people and to get what they can out of the people so far as money is concerned, to have fame and popularity and to exercise authority over the people that they might grow greater and greater and greater in the monetary sides of life and in these things that's in the world. Whereas the Bible teaches, very emphatically teaches, as concerning the minister said, don't follow after the riches of the world, for many following after these things have pierced themselves through with many arrows, and said, don't you do that. Said, you follow after Christ, and you follow after godliness, and you follow after righteousness. And even in the Old Testament, it was said that the priest could not go after riches. Even the priest in Moses' day, it was said, you cannot go after riches. You must take care of the people. I will be your portion in life. I will take care of you. I will provide for you. But folks, that isn't the way it is. They sell everything from shoestrings to holy water today. And on the TV, they've always got another deal for you. And they've always got something special for you. And they're always selling the gospel when the Bible said, buy the truth and sell it not. And they've always got some kind of program. And as a result of this, they always fall into the trouble of Satan. See, a lot of times you see a minister fall. We've got a number of them that's fell as of late because of fornication. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, these ministers that fall, you just have to understand that everybody has problems. So they say what we should do is pick them back up and start them all over again. But folks, has it ever occurred to you that the Bible says that when a man is overtaken by a woman in adultery and fornication, a minister, or whoever it might be, the Bible said it is because that individual was despised by God. And the Bible said the whore is a deep ditch, and they that are abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. They are abhorred of the Lord to begin with, and God isn't pleased with what they're doing, nor the things that they're trying to do. And because of that, this trap is set, whereas we pray, Father, lead us not into temptation, they go headlong into temptation and fall into the ditch of the great whore. And then we talk about going and picking them up and starting them all over again. Folks, let me tell you, When a person falls, when things happen to people, I can understand that, whether it be ministers or whatever, but they need to come back to God, all right, if they can get back to God. But they need to come and sit down in the congregation and listen to the minister that's going on with God, that's trying to stay straight. And they need to be grateful if God will even let them in the gates of glory. Because the Bible said the adulterer shall not enter in through those gates. The liar, the cheat, they'll not enter in. The gossip of the backbiter, he that hath an unruly tongue, they'll not enter into the presence of God. See, and these men or these women, whoever they are, they should be grateful to God that God would just let them come and sit in the congregation of the righteous, that they may feel around and find their place again as to even being a Christian. And for sure, they have no business up behind the sacred desk trying to lead people when they themselves cannot lead themselves into the right things or keep themselves in the right things. Did you know the Bible said that as to a minister, you're not even to have a minister up here as to a minister of the gospel unless he hath his family in subjection with all gravity? That you're not to have a deacon unless he has his family in subjection with all gravity? Did you know the Bible speaks of the ministry as to them that's over the household, that they have to be of a good report of them that are without and of a good report of them that are within, and they have to be filled with wisdom and they have to be full of the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit? That is the qualifications just to have them to lead the people. Folks, where in the world is our church today? Where are the deacons today? Where are our ladies today? Where are people like people that were in the frontier days, even some of them that loved the Lord and settled this part of the West and settled the world, coming in, women of the frontier, women who dressed decently, and women who had their minds on being mothers and looking after children and raising a little family and just living together and being the right kind of folks. Not some gay 90 dancer as it used to be in that time. Not somebody out here in a frolic. Not somebody that's wanting to be a movie star. Somebody that's wanting to be a great celebrity. It wasn't some man that wants to be some great athlete out there. It was a man that wanted to be something in the world, to help establish a way of life and take care of the needy and leave an example so that people would look on in admiration. You know, I see this today, and I'm not political, I'm not mocking, I'm not saying anything against anybody. You got to live your life, I got to live my life. Everybody's a sovereignty. I thank God that he's made it that way, that everybody can do what they want to do. I'm glad that it's like that. But you know, today I see people admiring somebody. They see them flashed across TV a few times, and they become famous with their name. You know, and I see people admiring them, and they really don't stand for nothing. They run and they scream and they holler and they wallow around in the mud and they fight and break each other's neck and wrestling and boxing and all these other things in sports and whatever, and they don't amount to a hill of beans. It ain't nothing that they do in their lifetime. They don't provide nothing for anybody. They don't stand for anything. They're not an example to anybody. They really don't accomplish anything in their life. And they take millions of dollars and millions of dollars from the public and they don't do anything, and the people run after them like a herd of cattle. Folks, and the great mighty men that stand for something that should be magnified and lifted up, they're set aside as nothing. And it's got the whole teenage world running after everything that's just nothing. Got them going after all these things that don't amount to nothing. And got their hearts and their minds toward things that don't set an example for nobody, that don't do nothing. They usually wind up with their neck broke or break somebody's neck, or they wind up a dope addict or some body sitting around sucking on beer and whiskey that just ain't fit for nothing in life. And usually those people die with rotten bellies because of cancer, and they die with heart attacks and all these other kind of things, and they're spending millions of dollars and days of jogging and lifting weights and doing all kind of exercises, and they're eating themselves to death like a bunch of pigs. They even have little signs saying, "Pig out here." What kind of world have we come to? What kind of generation have we got? How does God describe this generation? I said last night, I believe I saw a sign that said 44,000 abortions a day. And I look at that and I think, well, God, what kind of generation is this? The Bible tells us that it's a sinful generation. It's an adulterous generation. That's the kind of generation we've got. We've got to live in this world until Jesus comes. We've got children coming up into this world. What are you doing about it? Somebody said, well, I can't do anything about it. But do you realize, friend, that if I as an individual got my life right, and you as an individual got your life right, and the other person as an individual got their life right, there wouldn't be any wars, there wouldn't be any problems, there wouldn't be anything wrong, because all it is, it's just a matter of me, and it's a matter of you as an individual. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, if I get right, that doesn't mean everybody else is going to get right. No, but I'll tell you what, whether they get right or not, I still want to be right. Because when God comes back, they'll wish that they ought have got right. And if they keep on drifting down this trail that I'm speaking about, after a while, by the time the doctors start cutting on them and amputating and taking off arms and legs from diseases, and as they go into this era that hath no healing medicines, where the Bible said there won't be any healing medicines, I'll guarantee you, they'll wish that they had a got right. Because, folks, let me tell you, grace is gradually beginning to lift and go away. And the reason it's beginning to go away is because the knowledge of God has come. And when the knowledge of God comes, and if you don't obey the knowledge of God, if you don't repent, if you don't come to God and do the things that God tells you to do, then you don't have any more grace. But the Bible emphatically states that when a person has come to the knowledge of the truth, and then if they reject the truth and will not serve God after that, if they come to the knowledge of the truth, then turning away from the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to of the fire indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries. Which means to you and I that now in this day that we're living in this day, right here in the day that we're living in, we have come to the knowledge of the truth. There's never been an age that has been more sure as to the knowledge of the truth than the day that we're living in. People know the truth today. They know the truth from the radios, from the televisions, from the newspapers, from everything that you read or look, you can tell there is a truth. There is a truth from God somewhere. A minister somewhere is bringing a truth. Out on the corner, they're passing out a little tract. They're bringing a truth. And everybody is confronted with the truth. And did you know the Bible said God is not mocked? Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And did you know your dictionary gives mocking as lightly esteeming? That when you hear the word of God and you hear the things of God and you don't incorporate these into your lifestyle and you don't do the things that God tells you to do, then that is mockery to God. And the Bible teaches that angers God. And God said, I am not mocked. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. So in this age that we're living in the sinful, adulterous generation, there is no one that can control the teenagers. No one. Somebody would say, well, the law can take care of them. No, the law can't handle them. I have friends that's in the law, and they personally told me, said, we can't possibly handle them. Said, we beat young fellas with blackjacks when we wouldn't want to touch them. Said, but they're crazy. When they get on dope, can't nobody handle them, not even the law. You know, and it hasn't been so long ago, I had a little encounter with the law over some youth, and I was talking to them, and they made this statement to me, some real ugly type officers. They made the statement. They said, well, there's one thing about it. If the mothers and daddies can't handle them, we can handle them. I said, no, that ain't where the problem is. I said, there are some mothers and daddies that try to handle them. I said, but when you pack a pistol and a badge up here and go around and you keep the liquor joints open and all the things that intoxicates them and drive them out of their mind and you give them the protection, I said, and then you grab the teenagers and want to beat them and throw them into the jail, I said, that's where the problem is. I said, it's your problem, not the mothers and daddies. So then that means that there are still some decent people in the world, not many of them, but there are few. There are still some people in the world that love God, not many, but few. The Bible said, fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. And the Bible teaches that few there be that find this way. And the Bible also teaches that straight is the gate and narrow is the way. So then that means that this is a close walk. But God who made you and God who made me and God who set this tent out here tonight, God who made all of the world and everything in it, is giving you a chance to repent of your sins by sending a preacher by here and by sending a minister to you, whether it be under this tent or wherever it's at. And folks, when we repent of our sins, that's not sufficient. The Bible said, he that repenteth of his sins, if he turns away from his sins, then he can have salvation. For the Bible said, he that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins, whatever he does shall prosper. But to confess your sins and go back and practice the same thing all over again, you become habitual, and that means that you are bound with a demon spirit. And the fallen angels are demon spirits. and they have entered into your body and they've got control of your mind. You know, it's like I was telling a young fellow today. You have to remember that minds are worlds, and every individual is a world of their own. Every individual has a mind of their own. And your mind might be in a small area as to a confine. You know, like a little kitten, his mind is very small comparative to that of a greater species. See, and your mind might be that you've never been very far around in the world. You've never had real experiences. You've never traveled to and fro. See, and that's as big as your mind is. And that's as big as your world is. But on the other hand, there might be somebody there that's been, or even here tonight, that's been to Germany. It's been all around the world to the different places. I'm fortunate to have done that. There's others here, I'm sure, that have done that. Their world is great and big. Their scope is big. They can sit here tonight and be in Germany in their mind. They can sit here and be in Florida in their mind, be in California in their mind, wherever, because they have a big world. See, and there's no limit as to that world that God has given you. And some, it reaches so far until it goes up to the moon, where there has been those that have actually went up into space. And there they have stood upon the moon. You know, and their world is big. And that's the way it is with God. See, God gives you the mind of Christ that is so much bigger than any man's world. So much bigger than anything that you could ever comprehend in the natural, whether you be an Einstein or whatever. See, God's mind is so great and so mighty, and you're partakers of that divine mind and that divine nature, that you should have this great, wonderful world. And in this world, there's healing. There's the opening of the blind eyes, and there's an unstopping of the deaf ears, and there's the making of the lame to walk. And in this great, wonderful world of God, there's eternal life and eternal riches and eternal power. And there's the answer to all of your problems. There is a power that takes evil out of you to where you never fear again, to where you never let your heart be troubled again, to where you never have to worry again, to where you're never in poverty again. For he said, and God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, who hangs his gates out of pearl and paves his streets with gold. And the Bible said, in this God, if you delight yourself in him, he will give you the desires of your heart. He will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. He will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. And he will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. Ye shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. And ye shall bring forth your fruit in your season, and your leaves shall not wither. And whatsoever you do shall prosper. If you confess your sins and forsake your sins, all that you do shall prosper. But now look on the other side of it. The Bible said, if you will not serve God, he told Israel, he brought about 3 million people out of Egypt. And he said, if you will honor me, do your diligence to keep my commandments, and listen to me and hearken unto me, I will not bring upon you all of these diseases that I brought upon the Egyptians. And the original rendering of that is, allow them to come upon you, because God is our protection. Now, I'll be your defense if you'll do what I tell you to do. And he says in his word, all nations that forget God, I will turn them into hell. And he said, everyone that forgets me, I will pursue him until he perish from off the face of the earth. For I am angry with the wicked every day. It doesn't matter if they give me an offering, I'm still angry with them. It doesn't matter if they pray a prayer, I'm still angry with them. And he said, it's not my desire or will that the wicked should perish. Let them repent and come to repentance. Let them have everlasting life. But in that they won't do it, he said, I am angry with them every day. Every day, he said, all of their prayers is abomination in my sight. Doesn't matter if they give $1 million every day. He said, all of their offerings are abomination in my sight. I will pursue them till they perish from off of the face of the earth. For I am angry with the wicked every day. I know, you know, we're taught God is love. God is love. And all some of the Lord sing, God is love. I think we know that God is love. To put up with me and to put up with you, put up with the world of people like it is today, I'm of a certainty that you know that God is love. God is love, not willing that any should perish, even to the extent that he formed himself a body, made himself a body, and come down and gave the very blood out of his human body in your behalf as a lamb, delivered for your offenses and raised again for your justification. Now, but the thing is, though God is love, God does not love evil. And though God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through his Son, Jesus Christ, the world might be saved. But even though God did that, it did not say that God cared for iniquity. It did not say that God did not condemn iniquity. It said he sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, because the world was condemned already. But he sent them a way of escape. But beloved friend, the Bible said Jesus came to condemn sin in the flesh. So God does condemn sin in the flesh. And when you make a mistake and when you stumble, when you're trying to do the right thing, God is very gracious to you. He's very kind to you. And the Bible said his anger lasteth but a moment. And he will give you an abundance of grace, and where sin doth abound, grace does much more abound. But when you are habitual as to a practice to do your wrong and to do your error, God, the Bible said, hath not given us the spirit of error. And when you are in a practice to do these things, to follow the spirit of error, then you are habitual. And that means that you have a spirit, and a spirit has a hold of you. That means that an evil spirit has you, because you are habitually in this thing. Every day you practice that thing. See, and God is not pleased with that. He is not pleased with that. So then he hath called us to virtue and unto glory. And he wants us to come out of the world and be a separate people and touch not those unclean things. And I will receive you, saith the Lord. And folks, tonight, God is here. He's in our midst tonight. The Bible said, if two or three gathered together in my name, I'll be in the midst of them. And he's here tonight. And I can feel the wonderful Spirit of God even here tonight as he breaks the yoke. Because God wants you and he wants me to live a holy life. And he wants you to have eternal life. And he wants you to have blessing. And he wants to supply all of your needs, physically, spiritually, financially. Every way, he wants to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And he's well able to do it. And the Bible said if you trust in your strength, if you trust in your talent, if you trust in your ability, then you go down to Egypt for your help. And he said you're accursed. Tonight, we're not cursed. As people who believe, the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy speaks of the curse. And then the Bible tells us that Jesus was made a curse for us, that we might not be under the curse. And he said concerning the minister, whoever the minister blesses shall be blessed, and whoever the minister curses shall be cursed. And the Bible said he is the minister of God, and he has come to you for good. But he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. So fear and be afraid if you do that which is wrong. But if you do that which is good, he will bless you. For he hath the power to bless you, and you will be blessed when he blesses you. So you're not under the curse tonight. We're here to preach the gospel. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. That tells you that there is a way of escape, that you do have a Savior. So then tonight, Jesus is your Savior. He loves you. He offers to you, let whosoever will come freely partake of the waters of life. Let him come. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you've had problems in the past. It doesn't matter what church you belong to. That has nothing to do with it. The thing is, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can get into the Spirit or to the Father but by me. And that's through the name Jesus. And salvation is in none other name. And if you're willing to come tonight and call on the name of the Lord Jesus, then you can have this wonderful blessing of God. For see, in having the blessings of God, the Bible teaches that when you call upon the name of Jesus, that if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and call on me, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their lands. How many of you believe the land needs healing tonight? Let me see your hand. It needs healing tonight, folks. I tell you what, it really needs healing tonight. Some of you that have traveled around quite a bit like I have, then you know that it is in desperation tonight. And the whole world is being devastated because of the evils that's within the heart. And I'm telling you, medicine won't do it. Medicine won't do it. It doesn't matter what anybody does. I have nothing against good physicians. That's wonderful. I have nothing against good news media. I mentioned something last night. We've had wonderful write-ups from news media around the different parts of the nation. But nothing in this world as to law, as to government, as to the medical world, the military, whatever it might be, nothing has the answer. Jesus Christ, the Bible said, he alone in that day shall be exalted. And he is the only one that hath the answer. And if we let the Lord Jesus take control in our hearts and our lives, it doesn't matter who the man or woman is that's raised up, God will bless them and they'll be good leaders and we can follow. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. We can follow them as they follow the Lord, or listening to the indoctrination, even as the shepherd that is over the sheep. We can follow as they follow Christ. But when they vary from the Word of God, when they get away from the teachings of the Lord, when they get away from Christ's Spirit, you don't need to follow them, because you're going to be in error. And if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. I want you to stand with me tonight. I might be a little bit late coming. I don't know. Or maybe they got started a little bit late.
I try not to crowd you for time. I'm coming in too early so that you can have time to worship. And I might have got here a little bit too early. But I don't want to hold you late. I want to be able to worship with you. I want to be able to pray for you and help you and to do what I can. So I'm very considerate of you. And so I try to be reasonable in preaching to you. A lot of times when I'm with people that are well indoctrinated in the Word and they're looking for something from God, then I get into the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and sometimes hours. I have ministered all night long. All night long. I have stayed right with the Word of the Lord in teaching and tutoring people until the daylight would come. And whether you believe it or not, those that got so engrossed in the Word and understood the wonderful hidden mysteries as to the invisible world, and these things are given to us if we go on with God. These people listening would say at the break of the day, they'd say, please don't stop. And they wanted to go on. See, because the Bible said we speak that which is a hidden mystery as to the wisdom of God, which was ordained before the world was unto our glory. And you know, I look around today and I see all of the people of the churches as a whole. Not all the people, but in general, as a whole. I see them going after the things of the world. I see them bringing social things into the church. I see them bringing sports into the church and all these things that belong to the world side, not to the religious side. And I see them bringing them into the church because they don't have anything in the church anymore. See, they're not going on with God, so they don't have anything. They haven't gotten into the mysteries. They haven't gotten into the great world of spirit. They don't have any adventure. They don't have anything that's exciting. So it's just a ritualistic, it's a formality. It's going over and over in the same way, and the youth doesn't want that. They take dope to get high and to take trips. But folks, let me tell you, when you got God, you can go out into the great, wonderful spirit world like Paul, who was caught up to the third heaven and saw things that was not permitted to speak. And did you know that he saw such great, mighty things? He said, I am persuaded to believe that the glory that's within you by the new birth in this wonderful heavenly treasure that you have in your earthen vessel, he said that the beggarly elements of this world are not to even be compared to those things. With all the billionaires and the millionaires and the rich, that they're not to be compared with the dazzling dream of this world. It's not to be compared with that wonderful treasure of the mind of Christ on the inside of you. You know, think about the diamond, the gold, the silver, the fine automobiles, the houses, the glitter, the glamour, the fame, the popularity, even you as a creature that has been created, everything emanating from God. And you think, my, that's mighty. That's a great treasure. But folks, all of that's perishable. But do you realize that God, the great eternal spirit, which is the Word from the beginning, and that Word of life that's hid within you is what made that diamond, made that pearl, that made that beautiful little girl you see running around, that little boy, that made you, that you, as to Einstein and whatever, that brought forth all the knowledge as to the comforts and conveniences of life today. All these contributions that's been made to life by different men or to society by different men as to their intelligence and their ability. Do you realize the God of heaven, he is the one, the Word, brought all these things to pass. And that you have him on the inside when you believe. And when you are born again, he comes into your heart, and that's real treasure. And he said, if you will believe, and if you will confident your heart, if you will do the thing that pleases me, that your heart will be confident that we're friends, that you can say whatever you will and not doubt, and it will come to pass. And you can have the desires of your heart. You can ask anything in my name, and I'll do it. Whatever you need, whatever you want, call on the name of the Lord Jesus. And he'll bless you with it. If you're in poverty, call on the name of the Lord Jesus. I challenge you to call on the name of the Lord Jesus out of a pure heart and trust God and see if he won't make something open up to you and make life go better for you and see if he won't help you pay your bills. In the time of all the oppression and all the problem by IRS and everybody else, all of these things that's weighty upon you today and that the whole world is living on credit, the nation bankrupt, you call on the name of the Lord and see if God won't do for you, even as he did when he said, Peter, go down to the lake or river and catch a fish, whatever it might be. There'll be some money in there to take care of the taxes. Just go get it. God rained down manna from heaven for 3 million people. Took care of them. They wandered through the wilderness for 40 long years. Not one sick among them. even the elderly people, not one feeble among them. All was healthy and well. The Bible said, your strength shall be as your day. And God took care of them. Look at the world today. The whole world is sick. I go into India, and it's so much sickness and so much poverty until I cannot hardly believe my eyes. I go into Africa, I go into Haiti, I go into the different parts of the world. Even in Russia, before the curtains broke down as the iron curtains, I went there, my wife and I said, Betty, while you're in your room over here, I'm going to pray and talk to God. And I talked to God, and I pleaded with God, and I pleaded with God, and I pleaded with God, and I said, God, I want these curtains broke down. I said, this land is filled with poverty. I said, people around the world fear Russia. I said, Russia is a poor country. I said, it's so poor, I can't hardly believe my eyes. I had a vision, and I understood that that's the way it was. And when I got there, that's the way it was. And I said, God, in the name of the Son of God, you're going to break down these iron curtains. And I told my people before I left to go into Russia, I said, I'm going over there and pray, and God's going to break down the iron curtains. I said, and he's going to break down the curtains between East and West Germany. He's going to break them down. And numbers of things over the period of years we spoke of what God would do, he did it just like that. And now thousands and hundreds of thousands of Bibles and whatever is pouring into Russia. And great revivals are held, and communism has been overthrown. We predicted that Bush would come to office, and that when he come to office, that communism would be overthrown, and that would be the finishing of it. And it would fall from that into the Chinese government, and that would they would hold steady in it, and it'd be no problem until they dried up the river Euphrates. And when they got to where they could drop the river Euphrates, that would signal things as to the people of the East going in, compassing the cities of Jerusalem. And already they have learned they can dry it up, and they've dried it up a number of times to make way for the kings of the East, that they might go in there. And sure enough, I said, communism will seek asylum in China, and sure enough, that's exactly where it went to. Also, we spoke of Gorbachev, the man with the mark on the head, and how that it would affect the world and what he would have to do with Israel. And sure enough, he came all the way over to Georgia, there to Jimmy Carter. He was invited there to the college and the institution there. And the last report was that he was in Israel, and they received him real well. And folks, I know that we don't have time to talk about these things tonight. I wish we had hours to talk about as to the coming of the Lord, the signs of the time, where everything is in world affairs, and just exactly what's happening tonight. But we don't. We just have time to come here and talk to you just a little bit about Jesus and repentance, because the time is close. But I'll tell you this much. The end of the world is here, and the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet is right at hand. And the Bible said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, know that the time is at hand, and it's nigh even at the door. And when you see the cities of Jerusalem compassed about with armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And folks, it's right at hand. My wife and I were over there in Jerusalem doing Desert Storm, and the people were paranoid because it was a very dangerous time. But you know, Jesus is good. God is good. I want to say once more that we're glad to have you here. It's my privilege to be under the tent, and a greater privilege to be able to preach to you. Just to share with you a little bit, tell you about the things of God, this is what the Lord wants us to do. And we're going to sing a little chorus together. And while we're singing this chorus, the altars are open so that you can come to the altar tonight. The Bible said, call upon the Lord while he is near. Seek the Lord while he may be found. If you have been religious for years, that's all right. But get your real experience with God. Stop being religious. Just because you fasted a little, prayed a little. Stop being religious. Let's get right with God. Let's get born again. Let's get the Spirit of God. Let's get to where we are some kind of inspiration to God and to the people, and have a testimony to do something for Christ rather than just dying in a church being religious. Can we do that? All right, let's sing this little chorus, friend. Oh, there's room down at the cross for you. Can you sing that with me? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room
at the cross for you. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Spirit.
The altars are open if you'd like to come tonight. Can you sing that with me?
For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul.
Sing this with me now.
For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more.
Sing that with me.
For though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore.
While we're singing now, let's come to the altar.
I need thee, Lord. I need thee.
The altars are open. Let's everybody gather around the altar. Let's just everybody come tonight. The end of the world is here, and we know that the end of the world is here. And we know that everything is about to be blown apart, and there's no peace anywhere in the world. I know because I travel around the world. I preach around the world. And Betty and I, my wife, are constantly going around the world. And I know that going throughout the world, there is no peace anywhere in the world. And the Bible teaches that when they cry peace, then shall be sudden destruction. And so tonight, let's everybody just gather around the altar while we sing this song and worship God together. Can we do that in a unit tonight and let God know that we love Him and love peace? For He is the God of peace, and the Bible said all of the ways of God are peace. And he that keepeth his mind stayed up in Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. So then let's just praise the Lord tonight, unify ourselves under the tent tonight, and let God know that this is one group of people that love the Lord. We see this around the world as thousands of people come to the altar. Let's sing this together. We sing this usually at the closing of our service, but we want to sing it right now. Just lifting our hands up together and closing our eyes. And let's sing this little chorus. I will praise Him.
And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away every stain. And time shall be no more, no shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, then time shall be no more. So I will praise Him. I will praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us feel Him glory, people, for His blood has washed away.
Just lift your hands and close your eyes and let's worship Him.
And He was here from the and my Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here all the time. And He touched me, oh, He touched me, and oh, the joys that flood my soul. Something
has happened,
and now, oh, Jesus touched me and He made me whole. Oh, yes, He touched me. Jesus touched me. And all joys that floods my soul. Or something has happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me and He made me whole. Jesus gave her water, and it was not from the well. Jesus gave her some water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. Sing it now. Jesus gave her some water, and it wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her some water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water. Can you worship the Lord? Let's give Him wave offering. Jesus gave her some water, and it wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave her some water, and she went forth to tell. Went away singing, and she came back bringing others to this water that wasn't from the well. I read in the Bible where God so loved sinners, gave His Son to die in their stead. And He gave His life on the cruel cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for His wonderful way. Thank God. There's a bridge over the river someday. Chuck, do something to this. Faith with Him, and I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for His wonderful grace. I read where He said, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to prepare you a place. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, with pure walls of jasper. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace. Sing that with me. Thank God.
Thank God.
There's a bridge over the river. Someday gonna see his sweet face. Where's he on? Lift your hands up. Love the Lord tonight. Lord, for his marvelous grace. I don't want your gold and silver, and I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is more of Jesus. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Oh, praise his name. And
I don't need
no gold or silver, and I don't need no worldly fame, but I want more of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, praise his name. One more time. So you can have all the gold and silver, and you can have all the pretty things. I just want the love of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Let's praise his name one more time. So you can have all the gold and silver, and you can have all the first thing, but just give me the love of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, I'm glad he came. Give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. I want the old
time religion, got that old time religion. Want that
old time religion, man, it's good enough for me. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven, and it's good enough for me. You better get the old time religion. Better get the old time religion. Better get old time religion, cause it's good enough for me. I've got that
old time religion, got that old time religion, got that old time religion.
Good enough for me. I want that old time religion. Don't you want the old time religion? Don't you want old time religion? It's good enough. Lift your hands up and praise him. Give me that old. Come on, folks, let's praise the Lord.
Give me that old.
Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.
It's good enough for me.
Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Old time religion, cause it's good enough. Enough for me. I want that old time religion. Want that old time religion. Want that old time religion. Cause it's good. One more time together now. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Lift your hands up and praise the Lord tonight. I believe God will bless tonight. I believe God will save tonight. I believe God will heal tonight. If you'll lift your hands up tonight, time religion, cause it's good enough for me. I want that old time religion. God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to touch these people. Father, touch this brother that's kneeling here tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, touch these people that are around the altar tonight. May the great, mighty God of heaven move. I feel you moving tonight. And oh God, I feel the yoke being broken. Father, heal tonight in the name of Jesus. Feel spirit tonight. Move tonight, God, in a great and a mighty way. Father, touch this brother tonight.
Oh, Ramanda Ramashaya, Father, heal this body tonight. Oh, God, touch these people tonight. Father, touch this man tonight. May the blessings of the Lord be upon my brother. And, oh, God, upon my sisters tonight. Touch them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Heal these bodies in Jesus' name tonight. Time, religion, cause it's goody. Sing with me now. Give me that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion.